So let's continue our series. It's called Follow Me. We're trying to define what it means to be a disciple. And so we all know this. You can say it with me. What's our mission statement? Making disciples. Yeah, so we're making disciples who make his way known. You're fully aware of that, that we derive that mission from Jesus himself in Matthew 28, verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Pretty simple, right? Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. So we started out 2 weeks ago saying this word disciple is not a word that we use in our everyday vocabulary anymore. So it's really important, if this is the mission that Jesus gave us on this earth, we need to understand what we're supposed to do. If you and I are supposed to be disciples, and then we're supposed to join with God through the Holy Spirit to make disciples, we probably should well define what in the world a disciple is. Would you agree with me? So we're going to review that from Webster's Dictionary one more time. Four key definitions of disciple. One who accepts and assists in the spreading of the doctrines or teachings of another. A convinced adherent or follower of a school or individual. One who gives full loyalty and support to their leader, and a person who has devoted allegiance to the teaching of their master. Now, those are dictionary definitions, and they're all true. But we've decided we would like a very simple definition that any one of us at any moment could recall to our mind. And so we gave this simple phrase this, disciples, what? Pray and obey. The pray part means that we have a relationship with God. You realize when you pray, you're having a conversation with the Almighty. You're interacting with him at a very deep personal and spiritual level, and you're communicating with God. And what a privilege that is. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ without first coming to a personal relationship with God through Jesus. And we want to take just a minute and talk about that. How do you begin a relationship with Christ? It's very simple. You must, as Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, meaning he's the master of your life, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. And that's how you begin a personal relationship with Christ. You must acknowledge that you're a sinner, that your sin deserves death, and the only solution for that is that Jesus died in your place, and you receive that as a gift from God, the forgiveness of your sins, and then you enter into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ and what he did. But the Bible clearly teaches that when you accept Jesus and begin this relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, the third part of who God is, the third person of the Holy Trinity, enters into your physical body, because the scripture says in Corinthians, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so now you're a believer, the Spirit of God is inside of you, and you can talk to God and come before him unashamedly with boldness at any time, day or night. So you have a relationship with the Father. Some people see God as so revered and so holy that, oh, he couldn't have time for me. Yes, God is revered and God is holy, but he has all the time in the world for you because you're his child. Have you ever heard the illustration of, I believe it was President Kennedy, who let his son play in the Oval Office, and he would have, and that kid knew he could come in and out of there anytime he wanted. It was very disruptive for people who wanted to come see the president, but that child knew, my dad loves me and I'm first priority on his list. And that's the way you should feel about your father, the king, the president of the universe, okay? Jesus loves you, and you're available to him anytime he's available to you. So disciples pray. They have a relationship with God. It's not a religion. Religion is a bunch of rules, and religion is a bunch of people trying in their own strength to please God so that they can hopefully make it to heaven when they die. This is not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about a personal relationship with the Almighty God. And then we have the obey part. If you love him, Jesus said, you will keep his commandments. So we obey because we love and honor God, not because we're afraid he's going to punish us. There's a big difference in obeying out of fear and obeying out of love and respect. Do you hear me, church? So disciples pray, they connect with God in a relationship, then they obey what the master says, but it's not because they're afraid they're going to get smacked down if they do wrong. It's because I love you, master. I give my life for you. I'll do anything you want me to. And that's the obey part. So how do we know what to obey? We obey the word. 66 books in all, Old and New Testament. This is God's word. We obey it. It is the final authority in our lives. And then we said we also obey the Holy Spirit. Because if the Spirit of God lives inside of his church, he's still speaking to you. And what's an example of the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Something simple, like you're at work and a coworker, you just have a sense in your heart, I need to ask them how they're doing. I need to offer to pray for them. I might need to invite them into my home or to my church. See, that's the Holy Spirit leading you. And if you will learn to say yes to that voice inside of you, and people ask you, well, I don't know if that was me or God. If you thought about doing something good, it was God. Wasn't you. You're not good on your own. So don't ever ask whether that was God or not. If you thought about going out of your way and out of your comfort zone to do something good, God was leading you. Okay, I can't re-preach that message. But that's what we're trying to get across here. This disciple thing is not a religious activity. It's a relationship out of love and obedience. Do you hear me, church? We pray and we obey. Now, we talked about this. I think it merits bringing it up at least one more time in this series. There's a big discrepancy in America about what it means to be a Christian. Approximately 70% of Americans in recent statistics say this, I'm a Christian. See, there is some kind of disconnect here. People know about Jesus. They know facts and figures about him that they can understand. Maybe they've been to church, but I'm telling you, to be a Christian, according to the Bible, means you're a disciple who prays and obeys. You don't just casually identify with a concept. See, people know about Jesus, but they have no personal connection with him. And obviously, we do not obey his teachings overall in our nation, or we wouldn't have the kind of laws we have today. Many, many, many laws in the United States of America are contrary to the word of God. That's an indicator that 70% of Americans are not disciples of Christ. They may call themselves Christians. And I don't think anybody's trying to lie when they say, yes, I'm a Christian, but we don't have a biblical understanding of what a disciple of Christ really is. And here's what I think the problem is. Our current cultural understanding of a follower is very different than the biblical understanding of a follower. Let me illustrate. How many followers do you have on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram? This is a very casual observance. This is not a real follower. This just says, I put a thumbs up on your page, which means I can look at your content when I want to. I am a casual observer. We tell people, hey, follow me on Facebook. And when we say that, we say that to people, but there's absolutely no commitment involved. It's not the kind of following that Jesus was talking about when he came up by the Sea of Galilee and said, Peter, Andrew, drop your nets and follow me. Nothing casual about that. They didn't just observe Jesus. They let him change their agenda. So Jesus didn't mean follow me on social media when he said follow me. He meant surrender your life to me, have a relationship with me, pray, and then obey my commandments because you love me. Luke 9:23 gives us a real snapshot of what Jesus is looking for in a disciple. If anyone wishes to come after me, Jesus said, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, this may not be as vivid to us as it was to the people he originally spoke it to, because they were familiar with death on a cross. When he told them they must take up their cross daily, he knew that they knew he meant to die every day. Oh, how does that work if I'm supposed to follow Jesus and I'm dying every day? It's not physical death. It's death to your opinion. It's death to your agenda to take on his opinion and his agenda. There's nothing casual about giving up your agenda to follow Jesus. The life of a true disciple is dying to our self-centered nature daily and allowing Christ to live through us. Do you see that, church? 70% of Americans say they're Christians, but they don't do this. I'm not the judge of who a Christian is or not, but the Bible clearly says this: by their fruit, you shall know them. If you go out into a pecan orchard and you see apples growing, that's not a pecan tree. You know a tree by the fruit it bears. You know part of the problem with modern Christianity? We have like what I have in my front yard, a fruitless mulberry, which I'm really glad, because if the fruit was there, it'd be a mess. You understand what I'm saying? We have a condition in America called fruitlessness or negative fruit. So we are instructed by Jesus to evaluate the fruit of people, to know whether they are really a disciple of Christ or not. It's not the same as living in judgment, but you have to make an honest evaluation. Should I interact with this person on a deep personal level? Well, the way you make that decision is, what kind of life do they live, and do I want to begin to live like they live? Because your company will determine your choices. Your values will be influenced by the people you spend time with. So complete commitment to Jesus and his ways is what Jesus is talking about. Nothing casual, nothing against people who want to be Christians but don't understand what it really means. But if we're going to make disciples, church, we have to understand what Jesus was talking about. We cannot just say, well, if you say you're a Christian, you are one. Well, how about we answer the question personally, do I bear the fruit of a disciple? Do I have a relationship with God? Do I obey his word? And do I obey the Holy Spirit? Then you can begin to personally self-analyze, am I really following Christ? And then it's pretty obvious. We talked about in our last series, the fruit of the flesh is evident, the fruit of the spirit is evident. It is very easy to examine the fruit of someone's life without being snooty about it and judgmental. You can just simply say, I don't think we have the same values. I hope you'll keep coming to church with me, and maybe someday we'll come to the agreement on values. Do you hear me, church? People sometimes get offended when you don't let your kids go spend the night at their house. Well, keep doing what you think is right. Don't let somebody else tell you whether they should or shouldn't come. You have to measure and be, you have to decide, are my values in agreement with that family? Just because someone comes to church does not mean they're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And some of y'all are thinking, are you trying to run people off today? No. I'm just trying to preach the truth. I mean, we have to honestly evaluate. You know, people used to get somewhat torqued at me and my wife because we were very picky about who we let our kids hang out with. You should be too. If you don't think my family exhibits fruits of righteousness, don't send your kid to my house. That's not personal against anyone. It's just that I have been given a job to instill my values and my heart into my children. And as disciples of Christ, we should be the same way about ourselves. Pick your friends carefully. Bad company corrupts good morals, whether you're 5 or 55. You know, I know some people that are older than me that still act like adolescents. I won't call any names. I don't think any of them are here in this place today. You have to be careful who you listen to. Let me get back to my notes because I need to finish. When we choose to live this kind of life, it's easy. When we choose to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, when we choose to live that kind of life, it's easy to say to the world around us, follow me as I follow Christ. Do what I do and you'll be a disciple of Christ. It's really that simple. Really? We should be able to tell others to simply follow our example, and then they would know without a shadow of a doubt that they are true disciples of Christ. How many of you are comfortable with telling the world around you, all you need to do is follow me and act like me? Amen. I got one raising their hand out there. Thank you, Jesus. Did you know the Apostle Paul actually said to the church in Corinth these very words? 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. In the New Living Translation, it says it this way, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Most of us would think that guy is arrogant. No. He's just a fully devoted follower of Christ. He's confident of the fruit in his life. He knows that he prays and obeys. And so he says, hey, if you want to follow Jesus, just imitate me. This is the way I like to say it in modern vernacular. Hanging out with me is good for you. You should just hang out with me and you would be a follower of Christ if we would do what we know to do together. Come on, you should feel that way, believers in Christ. You're disciples. How many of us would actually, though, feel comfortable telling someone that? Hey, just follow me. Most of us say, well, 80% of the time I'd be comfortable saying that. Hey, that's okay because real disciples are not perfect. Even on the 20%, when you fail, what do you do when you fail? You return to the Father. Then you could teach someone how to be a disciple. Jesus is not asking for perfection. He's asking for relationship and obedience. He's asking us to be devoted to the Word and to have the confidence, as the Apostle Paul had, to say to anyone in my workplace, anyone in my family, anyone in my circle of influence, you can trust me, follow me, imitate me, and you will be a devoted follower of Christ. That should be our goal. How simple is that? That's simple. I really think it's what God intended. I think, though, it actually scares some of us to death. We are so afraid that we would lead someone astray. I pray in Jesus' name that the fear be broken. Of course, if you're deciding who you should follow, evaluate their fruit. But listen, if you're confident that you're a follower of Christ, then be confident. Christians are too neurotic. What does that mean? All up in our heads about whether we did the right thing or the wrong thing. Should I feel bad? Should I feel good? Just feel good. Jesus saved you. You're doing your very best to follow him. Gather some people up and tell them to do the same. Any one of us who are a believer in Christ could lead a life group. You know, we always talk about this. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit fell, they preached the gospel, people got saved by the thousands, and the church was born. They didn't have a 9-week training class for those small group leaders. We do. I mean, do you hear what I'm saying? If you've got the Spirit of God in you, if you're really surrendered to Jesus, if you really pray and obey, then you are the qualified person in the kingdom to lead others as disciples of Christ. You don't need anybody's stamp of approval. You need to get in step with the Holy Spirit and influence the world around you. Nobody will argue with you when the fruit of your life is so full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Who's going to come and say, stop that? I'm not. The Bible clearly says, if they're not against us, they're for us. If they're preaching the name of Jesus, I'm on their team. I believe this is God's preferred way of making disciples. What? Follow me as I follow Christ. Think about it in families. What do we say about sons and daughters? We usually say it negatively, but listen, what do we say? Well, the apple don't fall too far from the tree, does it? What are we saying? They're just like their old dad. They're just like their mama. What if their old dad and mama was a fully devoted, praying, believing, obeying disciple of Jesus Christ? Then I'm glad that apple didn't fall too far from the tree. And you should have that confidence as parents. This should be a good thing. Children should be able to imitate and follow the example of their parents and turn out just fine. If the parents are truly following Christ in their daily lives. There's so much potential for us to simplify this and really be effective. Too many Christians today are guilt-ridden because you think you didn't do the exact right thing. Instead of being confident in Jesus, your King. I don't have anything to give you if Jesus doesn't come through me. I'm just another piece of dirt taking up good air. From dust we were formed, until dust we shall return. And in the meantime, you're consuming good air. You might as well consume that air as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Make good use of that oxygen and influence the world around you. Tell everybody you know, follow me as I follow Christ. I know the tension in that is we've all seen people who said that who weren't really doing it, and we go, well, what do you do with that? Well, deal with it. But I'm talking to you. Let's not stop the process of discipleship in your heart because you don't want to be like that old hypocrite. You know, people always say, I don't want to go to that church over there, just a bunch of hypocrites. I'm like, come on down, you would fit right in. Because ain't nobody perfect. Every once in a while, we all look like a hypocrite. Hopefully not on purpose. If it's on purpose, that's a different issue. Are you hearing me, church? Quit canceling out who you are in Christ. You are God's answer to your circle of influence. Tell them all, follow me as I follow Christ. If they say, man, you're so arrogant, praise the Lord. If they start throwing rocks at you, rejoice. Because at least somebody had confidence that their Savior who lives in them is greater than their failures. Greater than your shortcomings, greater than your humanity. Christianity is a supernatural, holy God working through fallen people. You're not going to be perfect this side of heaven. Should we do our best? Of course. Should we strive for greatness and obedience? Of course. It's part of the equation, but you can't cancel out your influence because you fail every now and then. Be empowered to go and disciple the world for Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know enough of the Bible. Well, start reading it. Don't use that excuse. Well, I don't have any experience. Go get some. Well, I can't lead other people. Try. Follow me as I follow Christ, the Apostle Paul told the church in Corinth. See, this is a consistent theme throughout the New Testament. In fact, Paul encouraged the young man Timothy with these words in 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. In the New Century Version, it says the very same thing this way. Do not let anyone treat you as if you are unimportant because you are young. Listen to me, young people, teenagers, college students, young adults, listen to these words. Don't let anyone treat you as unimportant because you're young. Instead, be an example to all the believers with your words, with your actions, your love, your faith, and your pure life. I want to give a big fat shout out to all the young people in this church who are doing just that. Come on, church. We have a young people, a youth group full of life, a college ministry that's thriving. God is working in our young people. Some of us just need to look at the kids and figure out how to be a disciple. What did Jesus say? Let the little ones come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Our church is full of awesome young people who are serving God. They continue. I want to encourage young people, continue to be bold, continue to serve, continue to give your life to Christ, continue setting the example with your words, your actions, your love, your faith, and your pure life. We are so proud of you. And I'm confident that God is going to use you and your generation to impact the world for the kingdom of God. Disciples, pray and obey. Whether you're young or whether you're old, keep praying, keep obeying the Word and the Holy Spirit. Follow me, Jesus said. Follow me, the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth. There's two things we need to look at today. Who are you following? Are you following the right people? Have you examined their fruit? Let me tell you a couple of stories and I'll be done. We just celebrated my dad's 75th birthday yesterday. You know what? I didn't have to read a book on marital fidelity because my dad is a living, walking example of loving my mom and laying down his life for her. That's someone I can follow. You know, I didn't have to read a book on humility because I have a friend named Mark Leach who examples it to me every day. I follow him anywhere. Follow me as I follow Christ. I don't have to read a book on how to serve because I can follow my wife into any situation and her first instinct is to lay down her pride and serve whoever is in need. Find the right people and follow them. Who are you following? And then ask yourself this. Would I be comfortable telling someone to follow me? Will you stand with me, church? This is God's preferred method of discipleship. You know what we think of when we think we need to really bolster discipleship in our church? You know what we think of? Let's start some classes, right? Let's start some classes on discipleship. There's nothing wrong with learning, but that is a very Western view of discipleship. Jesus had a very Eastern view, which is very relational and very connected. And so he taught his disciples to follow him. And his disciples taught others to follow them. And that's how the world has been changed for the cause of Christ. Through everyday normal relationships, we can advance the kingdom of God and therefore make disciples by just simply saying to people, follow me as I follow Christ. Can you honestly say that to people today? If not, why not? I want to propose to you a couple of reasons why. Some of you are truly following Christ, but you're afraid to be that bold. Fear is going to leave today, and you're going to be who you're called to be. Some of us, we have some area in our life that we haven't fully surrendered to Christ. We don't really know if we want to obey Him there. Today is your day to lay it down so that you could turn around and say to anybody, follow me as I follow Christ. Will you pray with me? God, I pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit would rest upon us right now. God, for those who are afraid to be that bold but have all the fruit of a disciple in their life, break the power of fear in their life right now in the name of Jesus and turn this church into a bold, fiery witness for the cause of Christ in Plainview, Texas and the surrounding area. And God, for those of us today who may have an area that's so difficult for us to surrender, let your grace be released. Let the power of your kindness lead us to repentance this morning, God. We say, I'm willing to lay it down, God. I'm even afraid that I won't lay it down, but I want to today. Oh God, pour out your kindness upon your people for everyone who would struggle in an area that they want to surrender today. Oh Lord, we trust you to remove the pain of our fears. We trust you to remove the power of those sins. You've already defeated those sins. Holy Spirit, rest upon us now and lead us. Let us become confident followers of Christ. Prayer team, please just come on down right now. As these awesome disciples of Christ line the front of the stage, they're simply here to help you experience God in a deeper way. So whatever the Lord's doing with you, if you're someone plagued by fear and you know deep in your heart, man, I want to be a bold witness for Christ. I want to be able to tell people, come with me, do what I do. Come and let one of these young people pray for you. Some of us, if we're honest, we have addictions, we have struggles, we have anger, we have stuff in our life that seems to grab us every time we try to go for it. God wants to set you free today. I encourage you to come. Let someone pray for you. See the power of the Holy Spirit break those chains and turn you loose into a bold disciple of Christ who says, world, you can follow me as I follow Christ. Sing this song with us and then you respond however the Lord's leading you to respond. And I pray you have a great Sunday afternoon and you enjoy the presence of the Lord as you leave here.
Sing this. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me.